Blog Talk Radio.
From the pits to the stands, from the drivers to the fans, it's time for Race Fans Rock with your host, Infield Chen.
Hey there, Race Fans. Welcome to Race Fans Rock Radio. I have a great show for you tonight. I will be speaking with Brian Wortman. Now, Brian's the crew chief for the number 19 NASCAR Xfinity Series team for TriStar Motorsports. But I got to tell you, his journey to get where he is today has been long, and he has overcome a lot to be able to make his dream come true. It is such an awesome story, and I cannot wait to get him on the line to talk all about it from his day one until now. But that's all coming up in just a few minutes. But first, I got to talk to you guys about Texas Motor Speedway. I finally made it. I finally am able to cross that track off my bucket list, and it feels pretty good, not going to lie. So now the only two tracks left that are on the bucket list that I've not been to is Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which you would think I would have been to there by now, but I haven't. And the other one I would really like to go to is Sonoma. Everyone talks about this wine country thing, and I really need to check that out. So those are my two. Hopefully I was able to cross those off the list next year. But this week, it was Texas Motor Speedway that was crossed off the list. And I got to tell you, I really liked that track. Now, I didn't get to spend too much time there. I was there for maybe about a half a day. And we left actually just before the trucks went to qualify. And that was a bummer because I really did like that track. Brian and I went down there because Brian had to take the dually and the trailer to pull his brother Brad Keselowski's two-seater ride-along car down to the speedway because Brad had an event to do that Friday morning. So it was pretty cool. We drove, down. It took us like 2 days to get there. So anyway, we finally get down there. We get the car all loaded up and everything, and Brad is going to be giving rides to some of the faculty from the Dallas Cowboys. And one of them was an actual former player. He was kind of worried about how he was going to fit in the car because he was a pretty big guy. But I told him, no worries. I said, we'll stuff you in there somehow, some way. And, we got them in. So I helped them get suited up. I put their helmets on them and their harness devices and, got them all done. Then they would take their rides. And I got to tell you, when you're doing this, you don't really have a lot of time to kind of talk to these guys and get to know them. It's kind of just suit them up, get them ready to go and go. But one of the faculty guys, he was a tall, skinny guy. And he was scared to death about getting in the car. And he watched a couple of his buddies go ahead of him, and he's like, I don't know if I could do this, man. And I was like, I'm really scared. He's like, and I don't think I could do this. And I was like, come on, just do it. You'll love it. I promise you that. So I said, just put the suit on. See what you think once you put the suit on. All right, let's put the helmet on. What do you think when you get the helmet on? I said, well, since you got it all on, you might as well just go for the ride right now. So he did. And when he got out of the car, he had a huge smile. He was like, thank you so much for making me do that. That was the best damn thing I've ever done. So he had a great, great time. So the event went really well. It went off without a hitch. And then we, loaded the car back up. It was all done. And I told Brian, I was like, look, we spent 2 days getting here. I'm not leaving just yet. I said, you got to give me some time. I said, I got to check out some things at this track. I knew I wasn't going to be able to do everything, but I did tell him, I said, I need some time. And he said, okay, fine. So I got my camera out, got a bunch of batteries in my pocket, and I ran off into the cup garage and started doing what I do, taking my pictures and, talking to some people and catching up with some other people about some other things and things like that. So I really liked the Texas Motor Speedway. It reminded me a lot of Charlotte Motor Speedway, so it's kind of set up sort of similar. They do have a lot more suites, and I didn't get a chance to go up into the suites, but I did get to see, and that's pretty, pretty cool. The big screen, just like Charlotte has as well. So it was pretty similar to that, and it was kind of easy to find my way around, which was also nice, considering I've never been there before. But I made my way back over to the Xfinity garage and took some pictures there, and then I went over to the truck garage where I met up with Brian. And then he had to go talk to some people, so I started speaking with a couple of my buddies that were on the Norm Benning's team. Well, They had a shortage of people there. No, they only had maybe like four or five people tops, and they needed some more people to help push the car. So they asked me, can you help us push the car out to qualifying? Okay, fine. I've done that before. Not a problem. And there was another man that I was talking to there. His name is Barry, and he's worked with a bunch of teams before. And it was really the first time I'd gotten to speak with Barry and get to know him a little bit. I mean, well, I've seen him at the track 100 times. So we started talking, and, you know, the other guys went ahead of us. So, and as you know, any underfunded teams, the last thing that they're really worried about having is, like, matching shirts and things like that. They're more important about making sure that they have the money that they need to buy some tires, to make sure that they have the money to get to the track and things like that. So T-shirts and stuff kind of take the back seat. So they went ahead of us, and me and Barry were talking. We started walking over. And mind you, a lot of the other teams are also walking over, so it wasn't like we were late. But we get to the, you know, to pit road, and we're about to walk on the pit road, and this security guard, who was so rude, and I wouldn't have said nothing, but he was so damn rude. It was unbelievable. So we're walking on the pit road, and he grabs Barry. And mind you, Barry's an older man, okay? I would say he's in his, like, late 50s, 60s. He grabs him, this punk, and he goes, "You can't go on the pit road. You can't go on the pit road." And I'm standing there, and he's like, "Where's your pass? Where's your pass?" So we show him the passes, and he's like, "Oh, that's not good enough. You can't go on the pit road." I'm like, "Obviously, you don't know what these passes are, because we should be allowed to go on pit road with these passes. They were not passes. I mean, come on." So anyway, he goes, "You can't go on the pit road. You're not with the team." I said, "Well, we are with the team. We're actually going to go help them, you know, pit the car." So he starts grabbing Barry's shirt, and he grabs his own shirt and goes, "You don't have shirts. You don't have shirts." And he's like pulling at his shirt, like where the logo was, where it said Texas Motor Speedway. And I'm like, look at this guy. I didn't say nothing, because if I did, it probably would have caused a scene. I didn't want to do that. But he was just so damn arrogant, and he wouldn't even let Barry talk. And I really was close to saying something. But then my buddies on Brad's team kind of came over and said, "Stay with us, and it's okay." So, you know, we went in. But just the way he conducted himself was so unprofessional, and I wish I got his name, because I would have called the track on him. I understand the security guards got to do their job, and they have their work cut out for them. But there's a way to act, and then there's a way to act. It was the truck series qualifying. There wasn't, like, you know, tons of fans were trying to sneak in and stuff like that. We weren't there as race fans hanging out. It was just, he really aggravated the hell out of me. So I give that guy a big 2 thumbs down. If I ever do see him again, I will be getting his name. So that's what ground my gears this week. But anyway, usually that kind of stuff doesn't happen, and usually it doesn't bother me, but the way he did that and the way he spoke to Barry was disrespectful. I had to say something. So this is my show, and I can do that here. So anyway, aside from that, there, we wound up getting back on pit road, and I kind of helped the guys out a little bit, and they got the call where they needed it to be. And that's when I got the phone call from Brian saying, "Where are you?" Said, "Well, I'm pushing a car on pit road, a truck out on pit road." He's like, "We're leaving now." I was like, "Damn." So I did my part. I helped out a little bit, and with that, I wound up getting, you know, back in the truck, saying goodbye to everybody, got back in the truck, and off we went. So I didn't have a chance to check out the campgrounds, but, you know, I didn't have a chance to really look at them up close. But I was told from locals, you know, that I was talking to at the track, that the campgrounds fill up pretty good over there, and they are a really great crowd. So that was good to know. You know, I was wearing my NASCAR Campground Network hat, and I got to tell you, it got a lot of attention. That was pretty cool. I wore it all weekend, and a lot of people asked me about it, and I sent them, you know, told them, "Hey, check out NASCARCampgroundnetwork.com. That's where you can go and, you know, check out the hat. If you like that hat, you can go get it there, and while you're there, check out, you know, the rest of the good stuff that they got." Now, speaking about the NASCAR Campground Network, they're giving away a free trip to Daytona 2016. Now, the NASCAR Campground Network is giving away a fantastic week of fun at Daytona Race Week 2016. One lucky grand prize winner will receive 1 week's lodging in an oceanfront two-bedroom condominium, $1,000 airfare travel cash, $1,000 spending money, infield passes for 4 people for the entire week. You'll get a behind-the-scenes VIP tour for 4 people at Daytona International Speedway, and I might be your tour guide. You'll get one special parking pass, too. Now, the entry deadline is December 1st, 2015, so you don't have a lot of time left. Now, the winner will be chosen in a random drawing on December 18th, 2015. There's only one entry per person, so make sure you get all your friends to sign up as well. You got to be 18 years old by January 1st, and there is no purchase necessary to win. So check that out, and while you're on NASCARCampground.com's website, check out all the benefits that they have of becoming a member. I got to tell you, you will not be disappointed. Yearly membership is generally $159 for the four regions of the United States and up in Canada, which means that you can go to any campground that you want. If you use the code InfieldGen at checkout, you'll get the same all-access membership for only $79.99. So it's a really good deal. If you use any of the memberships, you know, if you do any of the events just once, you'll save way more than $80 on anything that you do there. So check it out. It's a good deal. I really stand behind it. So it's www.nascarcampgroundnetwork.com. Okay, so this race gear, tonight's show has been brought to you by racegear.com. Now, if you're the kind of race fan who loves memorabilia from all your favorite NASCAR drivers and teams, then you have to check out racegear.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your racing memorabilia. They have everything, and you can get it with a few simple clicks, and it's on its way to you. Prices are great, too, and if you use the code RACEFANSROCK at checkout, you're going to get another additional 10% off your order. So check it out. When the show's over, head on over to racegear.com. Okay. My guest tonight, as I told you, is Brian Wertmann. He's on the line right now, and I want to get him on the show. Hey, Brian.
Hello.
Welcome to Race Fans Rock. Hello, Brian.
Yep.
Hey, how are
Hi,
you?
Hi,
thanks
Jen.
For coming on the show tonight. What's going
oh,
on?
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me. I'm right now in Hunterville right now. I'm having just a little fun night with a few teammates of mine, and I'm having fun with also a couple other NASCAR Affinity drivers, J.J. Yaley and his wife, and Jeremy Clement. Right
Very
now
cool.
we're
that
doing
like a
trivia
good,
night.
A good time.
Oh, yep, it's called Trivia Night. It's at, at the fair time in Hunterville at the bowling alley.
Mm-hmm.
And
they
are just about to begin. I told them I will try to get back in there for the second round in a couple of minutes.
Well, that's cool. I'm
like
right down
said,
the street
I,
from there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Said to them, I'm just going to miss the first round, and I will try to get back in the second round. Help
that's
them.
Good. so cool. So, Brian, I want you to know that I think your story is an amazing one, and I wanted you to come on the show tonight and share all that you've been through in your journey, you know, from going from being a race fan to a crew chief. Now, I've been following your story on Facebook for years, and more people need to know what you have done and what you've gone through, because it's an inspirational story for a lot of other people who are in the same situation as you, who want to do the same things as you. So I want to start from the beginning. Now, Brian, how long have you been a NASCAR fan?
When I was 3 years old, back in 1989, main reason NASCAR came into my life, well, I didn't learn how to speak till the age of five, when I was back in 1992, when I learned how to speak, my father and my mother spent thousands and thousands of dollars to buy, you know, like tape recorders, a microphone, a pet bird to help me talk. Nothing helped me to talk. Only thing that helped me to talk was when watching a old clip of the 91 Daytona 500 when Dale Earnhardt hit that seagull when he was leading the race back in 91. That helped me to say my first words, and next thing you know, it was racing. Like back in 1990, I was declared deaf by New York State, and the only way that I can start school is by doing sign language. And I tell people, main reason I'm talking with my hands because it's a force of habit because of, you know, when I was doing sign language. I used the sport of NASCAR to help me grow all my, you know, necessary skills, like my voice, my verbal skills, my motor skills, mathematical skills, everything. to become what? Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, when did you decide that you wanted to work in NASCAR?
It was my passion, you know, my whole life to work in NASCAR, either as a driver or a crew member. I was trying to be, you know, try to become a go-kart driver in a young age, but because of my vocabulary and my speech impairment, it was so awful as a kid, and they said it was I'm a higher risk that I'm not going to communicate with track officials if I'm, you know, hurt or anything.
Gotcha.
And that kind of shut down, but, you know, me, I still try to work around it, try to make it through. Every year, instead of taking English class, I take a speech therapy class so I can work on my speech impairment, try to get that better, get all my vocabulary up.
They did a good job, Brian, because I can understand everything that you're saying, and you're doing a great job. So, Brian, when you decided that you wanted to work in NASCAR, you knew that you had to do something about it, that you had to get an education. So what did you do?
What did I do? Well, back in 2005, after I graduated high school, I decided what path I wanted to go. I took a year off after high school, so I decided a path. Do I want to go, you know, a safe route, or should I, you know, dump everything I can think of to get go for my ultimate goal? I went the safe route of went to business school in Hudson Valley Community College in Hudson, New York, just a few minutes from my hometown of Latham. The school is in Troy, New York, one of the suburbs of Albany. Went there for 2.5 years, and then after my degree, I hit a dead end. I don't know what to do. I work at a dead end, you know, like a dead end job, like not making enough money, and I'm thinking fast, and I'm thinking, what should I do? Then in 2012, Morgan Shep.
Right, and I think that's when I met you for the first time, isn't it? I know that I met you for the first time. You were a race fan, and you were there with someone. I know it was
I know 2013 we met together. The first time we met was 2013, a year after that, in the Arca garage when I was with Jane Dufo.
That's it. You're right. I couldn't remember James' name.
Yep. So I was on the side of your car the year after.
That's right. You were. That's right. Your name was on our car. That's right. I forgot about that.
Morgan Carr, when he record debut.
Absolutely, that's right.
Cool.
So now, 2012. You had. Go ahead.
2012, I went to meet with Morgan and Cindy and ask them how to get into racing. And they told me, it's hard work and all, you know, they told me stories. And then, I've been thinking maybe I should go to NASCAR Tech Institute, maybe down in North Carolina. You know, it's still in the beginning process. Then I went down to Daytona with James Lupo, cooked for a team called Carter Two Motorsports in the ARCA series. And that when I met you, because of James. And I met with Roger and Dana Carter, the owners of the team, and met with a couple other people, on the team or on their team. And then I started looking into the NASCAR Tech Institute more deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And then that July, I went back to New Hampshire Motor Speedway, met Morgan and Cindy. And after driving back home after that night, I made my decision that night. And I, you know, made the phone call to start enrolling. And I was, that happened on July 13th that day when I met Morgan Cindy, and I was in school on November 10th.
That is awesome. So now what did you think about making the move to North Carolina?
It was scary. I did not like the fact that I'm going to move 700-800 miles away from my family. I don't have very much family down here. The closest family I have right now is in, my aunt and uncle just moved down here to Greenville, Tennessee. It's just on the other side of the state line of the Tennessee, North Carolina state line. It's just like 3 hours from here.
All right. So,
yeah.
I mean, I felt the same way, too, when I moved down to North Carolina by myself, too. So, you know, you aren't alone. So, I mean, when I heard your story, I was like, oh, my God, I know exactly what you feel like because I've done pretty much the same thing. I didn't go to NTI, but, I mean, I know what you went through. So, now, how long was the course that you took at NTI, and how did you do in school?
The course is you got to take all the basic stuff. There was 16 courses of just the basic, like brakes and electronics and fuel injection. You can't skip any of those. Then you got the 5 NASCAR courses on top of it, and that's 21 courses. So they are 3 weeks apiece. So 40. You can graduate in 42 weeks. 42 weeks.
Nice. So now, how did you do in school? I mean, I remember seeing that you got awards and stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like. Okay. So it's like a year and a half.
63 weeks in the. Yeah, I won a lot of awards. I was blessed.
Good.
With that, I won Volunteer of the Month. I won student of the course numerous times. Like the second to last student of the course I won, it was in my electronic class. And my teacher came up to me and said, main reason I'm giving you this award because your group like to, you know, go with the honor group and just copy information down and you just, you know, go back to the car and go back to your toolbox and work and get the problem, you know, get the problem solved on your own and not do, you know, not asking anybody help or cheat anything because of, you know, in the real world, you can't cheat.
Nope.
In the real world, you need to know how to do this.
And you sure do. Now, Brian, I remember reading on your Facebook pages a while back that a few students in your classes played a not-so-nice trick on you, and it actually turned out to be a blessing in disguise and probably the best thing that could have happened to you. Could you tell us a little bit about what happened and how that all went down?
And we found out it was not a student at the school. It was a former NASCAR crew member who was, you know, I was friends with. He was a former crew member. I'm not going to name, you know.
No, don't name him.
The team. I'm not going to name him, and I'm not going to name the team he was in. But he was
no, don't do
a former crew member in the Xfinity series, okay?
Okay.
He got a hold of my cell phone number and called me and pretending to be a general manager of TriStar Motorsport. And he said that if I want a job, just say on Facebook, he will know that I'm interested. Then the next day, he called again, gave me a better offering job, say to do the same thing, and you know, did it. And then on that Wednesday, I said, "This is odd," because
yeah,
I talked to a buddy of mine who he said that, "Oh, I contacted your buddy Jane Lupo and got a real recommendation." Jane said he never got a hold of anybody from TriStar. And then, you know,
so that's when you found out that it was.
Then
that
when I found out, I went to school. I went to school on that Wednesday, and we called TriStar Motorsport. We went to call TriStar Motorsport, and they said it was a hoax because there was nothing on my file that TriStar Motorsports ever called the school or asked them to look in my file. And then, you know, it was, you know,
But then,
like the teacher said, they just trying to hurt me until I can go, until I just run back home to back to New York and do not be intimidated by them, you know. So I do not intimidate them. And but, you know, me, I'm not a critter. I just rolled the punches. I went back to school the next that day and got myself that started up with me having 12 or 13 straight A's from the end of school.
Nice.
From there to the end of school, I got 13 straight A's, and that didn't hurt me. That
could
help me, you know, make me better, get me better as a person. Like,
so now, Brian, after those guys played that trick on you and you found out that it was a hoax, how did TriStar Motorsports find out about it, and what did they do?
The general manager at the time, his name is Jamie Slaughter, he asked me to come down to the shop, do a VIP tour around the shop, see all the hauler, meet the team, everything. But it was at the point of the season they were having numerous races out, you know, scattered across, so they are not at the shop very much. So I told them, I told Jamie, well, how about this? I will meet with one of your crew chiefs at New Hampshire, because I'm going to New Hampshire to work with Carl Long. I'm taking a 3-week fade break. That's what they call a fade break at school. And I'm going to New Hampshire and help Carl Long. I can meet one of your crew chiefs. And they said, all right. And I got a hold with the crew chief of the 14 at the time. His name is Rex Ward. We met, and he gave me an internship. And ever since, I'm working with them. Last year it was an internship. This year, they was not going to be able to put me on the full-time payroll, but they want me to come to the track, and I'm still going to get paid when I'm at the track, but not very much at the shop because of I'm not full-time. They still consider me at an internship. And after I'm done with school, I was mostly the car chief of the 19 all year, like the car chief head mechanic, because it's just me and 200 guys. Herman. Crew chief Chuck Herman, he was the crew chief most of the year. The other one is Jason Benz. He was like the leading mechanic, but he also the gas man for Eric McClure for this year. Mike Bliss earlier this year when before the 19 turned into the 24. And the 10 turned into the 19. Then
I'm gonna change it
before this year. Then Dover, it was the Wednesday before Dover. Just 2 months ago. We got the getting the car all ready, and then Chuck did not liking that the Hunter team did to him, and he packed up his toolbox, quit, and we were scrambling with no crew chief, and they said, they told me that I'm going to be the crew chief for the rest of the year, and I'm, you know, I'm still trying to learn. I'm still learning.
You're doing a great job.
And ever since, you know, when I took over, we've been going the right way and qualifying, because we went from our top qualifying performance with Chuck was 24th at Richmond, the first Richmond race, and ever since we have not cracked the top 30. And my first day of my first gig as crew chief, we cracked 27th in qualifying.
Awesome.
And yep, and ever since we stayed up there in the top 30s in qualifying trim.
Oh, that is awesome, Brian.
I believe if we didn't have the qualifying didn't get canceled on Saturday because of the track was wet, I believe we would have qualified possibly into the second round, because Jeff said his car was super fast on on race day, and I believe I said to Jeff, I believe if we had qualifying today, you would have made it top 24.
Absolutely. So, Brian, what do you think now, looking back to the first time I met you back in the garage, to so many years later till now? I mean, if I would have said to you when I first met you, in 3-4 years from now, you're going to be the crew chief of the number 19 Xfinity car, would you have believed me?
No, maybe not, because I'm thinking that it'd be more down in the road, like maybe 5, maybe 10 years from now. Not, you know, I've been in the port for 2 years, and I'm, you know, got this great responsibility by being the crew chief, and I need to thank numerous people to make me, you know, where I'm at today.
But you put in the hard work. You went to school. You did what you do. And by the way, the guy that played that trick on you, where is he now?
I don't know. Not in NASCAR anymore.
Serve him right. Good. So, Brian, what is next on the agenda for you? What's
next
going on
my agenda? For next year, we do not know what we happening. I don't know what I'm what happening to me next year. I don't know if I'm going to be with TriStar or be with somebody else. I do not know, because we just moved to a new shop. I know Blake and David are coming back, because Blake just signed up a deal with Lee Filter again to come back with us in 2016. He announced it back in mid-Ohio. David, he's completing his first of 3-year deal with Zachary and TriStar, so next year will be his second year.
Cool.
But the Hunter 2 the Hunter 2 primary cars and our 19 starting park car, we do not know what's happening yet, because it's still too early. We do not know if Eric is coming back or leaving us. We don't know that. Kale Conley, unfortunately, he went out of money and he'd not be able to continue with us anymore this year.
It takes a lot of sponsorship to do anything in this sport, we know.
Well, I will tell you this. Joe Nemechek is right. The only way that you can survive in this sport, you need to bring that money in. Money is speed. And if you want to make it in the sport, you need to have that speed to get on TV to prove yourself that you belong in this sport.
Exactly. Well, Brian, I don't know about getting on TV, but I know that you've proved yourself, and you definitely do belong where you're at right now and in the NASCAR garages. So I hope that if things continue to work, you know, go well, really well for you, it looks like they are, and I don't think there's anybody in the world that could tell you that it's not going to happen. If you want it to happen, it'll happen. So thanks for being an inspiration to a lot of people out there. A lot of people, one of the biggest questions that I get asked all the time is, how do I get a job in racing? And, you've done it, and it's not easy to do, and, you know, you've had some disabilities along the way, but you've overcome it. You're great. It's great.
I'm going to tell you this. It's not easy.
No, I know.
It's not easy. The only way, if any of the newcomers are listening, the best way to do it is, in my point of view, to do it, ask a low budget team, need help, mm-hmm. just, you know, voluntarily, like there are numerous teams are looking for volunteer help.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Jo Cobb in the truck series, Carl Long in the Xfinity series, Derek Hope in the Xfinity series, they are looking for help any way possible, but they can't mm-hmm. pay, you know, the experience, but they
exactly
can help, you know, somebody who, you know, trying to get their foot in the door in racing, and that's the only way to do it. You have to start with a low budget team and work out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing.
Exactly. You hit it dead on. You're totally correct. Well, Brian, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about that we haven't spoken about already?
No, like I said, I'm just waiting for the next chapter. That Phoenix we're leaving here Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. We'll be there Thursday night. We'll be at the track Friday on my birthday. Friday is my 29th
birthday.
Thank you very much.
Well, cool. Well, good luck this weekend. Good luck at Homestead, and good luck with what's going to come for you. I know good things are on the way, because you're a true inspiration to many people out there who want to get in the sport, and they think that the cause is stacked against them. So, you know,
I want to thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show tonight.
And I need to say thank you to Mark and Kathy Smith from TriStar Motorsport for giving me this opportunity. I need to say thank you to all the crew chiefs, Eddie Pardue, Matthew Lucas, Rick Wren, Nick Hutchison, Ricky Viers, who's our general manager at TriStar Motorsport. I also need to say a big thank you for this guy right here. His name is Brian Smith. He's the car
mm-hmm.
chief of the 44. Who's been helping me and training me all this year. And every week I'm learning something new from him or one of our honor staff at the track. And also I need to say a big thank you for Jeff Green for just trusting me, putting, you know, all this responsibilities in my hands. And I'm learning from the 2000 champion of the NACAR Xfinity Series. And
I'm learning
a lot from Mike Bliss, too.
Good. And you're doing a great job. You're surrounding yourself with the right people. You'll go really far. So good luck to you. Thanks for being such an inspiration, and thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great night.
You too.
At the track soon.
I hope
so. All right, have a great night.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye, Brian. Oh. Okay, he has, got the best story ever. I mean, if that isn't a super special success story, then I don't know what is. You can follow Brian Wortman on Facebook. He's friends with me online. You can find him on my page. It's BRIANWERTMAN. He posts up a lot of things that he does daily, and you'll get a good sense of what his day is like and what his life is like, and now that he's made it to the big time. So it's really cool stuff, and I wish him all the best. So now it's time for a few hot topics that's burning up some rubber in NASCAR this week. And speaking of burning some rubber, that was definitely the case this past weekend at Texas Motor Speedway. Now, Goodyear sure did have their work cut out for them with the Sprint Cup Series race. A lot of teams were popping up those tires. Now, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, Dale Jr., and Kyle Larson all had major issues with tires blowing out, costing them some serious positions and quite possibly ending their championship contention. Now, it's going to be a lot more challenging for them to make it to the final four at this point. Now, Greg Stucker from Goodyear said it was a myriad of issues causing the tire failures in Sunday's race, but he stood behind the compound. Stucker said both Harvick and Earnhardt ran over debris, which cut their tires. Now, the left rear is the most certainly the most common occurrence, Stucker went on to say. We're seeing signs of overdeflation type air losses, which we've seen before. And he says, I think one of the other factors you have to consider is the impact that the weather had. Now, Stucker pointed out that with no practice on Saturday, teams were unable to properly gauge the tire wear and find the edge. I think that's just where we are right now, he said. Now, they're still trying to sort through that and find where they can be with the left rear deflection, where they can be with air pressures, and where they can be with their setup. Now, the tire compound used on Sunday at Texas is also the same that will be used at Homestead Miami Speedway, so that will be pretty interesting. Now, in any event, tire issue or not, it was Jimmy Johnson who took home the checkered flag at Texas Motor Speedway the eighth time of his career. He only led the last six laps of the race, which was primarily dominated by Brad Keselowski, who led over 200 laps of it. And I got to tell you, it was quite loud in my house at the end of that race. I mean, Brian was cheering for little bro to get it and get it good. And he even had three of our hound dogs screaming and howling right there with him. It was kind of funny, and it was something to see, definitely. But all that came to an end when Johnson took the lead and went on to win. Now, by no means does that mean that Brian was booing Jimmy, but he definitely would have loved to see his little brother secure a spot in the final four. Anyway, so Jimmy, this win does not help Jimmy get into the final four, as he was out of it in the first elimination round, but it was a great boost for him and the 48 team, who hasn't seen victory lane in 20 races. So kudos to the 48 team on their win. The big news out of the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series is that they finally announced their full season schedule for 2016. They'll have 21 tracks hosting 23 events in the U.S. and Canada. So the full schedule can be seen on infailgen.com, and just go over and check that out. Now, with all the talk and hoopla about Mount Kenseth, it will be his son, Ross Kenseth, that will try to make headlines in a good way as he gears up for his second start in the Xfinity Series at Phoenix this weekend. And he'll be driving the number 80 Toyota Genius Parts Tacti Toyota Camry for Hattori Racing Enterprises. Now, his first Xfinity race was in June at Chicago and Speedway, where he drove for Joe Gibbs Racing. He qualified second and finished sixth in his NASCAR debut. We'll see how he does this weekend with the new team. Now, Matt Kenseth sat his first race out, fulfilling his two-race suspension this weekend, and he will not be at the track this coming weekend at Phoenix International Raceway. Eric Jones is filling in for Matt, and the media has had a field day on the whole situation. I was more curious to see how the whole thing was affecting the crew members responsible for the 20 car, and I was really glad to hear from a friend of mine, who I won't mention names, but a friend of mine is on that team, and he said that it hasn't really affected the team much at all. It's still business for them as usual. And, you know, they're still working on the same cars that they would have worked on if Matt was in the seat or not. They still have the same responsibilities that they normally would have. And, you know, their only concern is putting a good car on the track for whoever drives it. He went on to say that the media is having a lot more fun with it than they are, and they're okay with that. Well, that's what's hot this week in the news, and I'll do this again next week, and we'll talk about what's hot and worthy of talking about then. So Hot Topics has been brought to you by Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC. Hey, how would you like to multiply the cash you have today into the cash you have tomorrow and down the road for years to come? Well, you can do that with Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC. They're a wealth and profitability company designed to help individuals like you and me achieve financial freedom. No more having to worry if you'll have what you need when you need it for those rainy days. Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC have helped thousands of their clients live the life they've only dreamed of with peace of mind. That's a huge deal. They've helped me for several years now, and I cannot see myself without them. You shouldn't either, so visit www.highlandwealthny.com. for a consultation. It was one of the best decisions I've ever made, and it can be the best decision that you make too. That's www.highlandwealthny.com. All right. We are down to the wire with only two more races before the 2015 season is over and done with, and I still have one spot left to fill for someone to be my dedicated fan in the stand reporter for Homestead. Now, if you don't know what it is, then listen up. I need a pair of eyes and ears at the racetrack, and that's where you might come in. Now, I urge fans that want to go to the track for an up-close experience to be my weekend reporter to connect with me, tell me why I should choose you to be my dedicated fan in the stand reporter. And if I choose you, I'll have a couple of garage passes and send you to the track on a mission. You're going to report back to me throughout the whole weekend and update me on everything that's going on all over the track. You're going to check out the infield, the outfield, the garages. You're even going to check out the concession stand venues. We want to know it all. You'll send me pictures of the drivers that you meet and all the fun that you're having so I can post it up on infieldgen.com, my website, and on my social media so other fans who are not at the track and who can't get to the track can follow along with you and get a good sense of what it's like at that track. And we can catch them on that upfront experience. So don't wait. The season is almost over. You can email me at infieldgen@gmail.com. And, again, give me a good reason why I should choose you to be my dedicated fan and the stand reporter for Homestead Miami Speedway. Now, this week, my dedicated fan and the stand reporter is Dan Basham. He's going to have a great time, and he's going to send me all kinds of stuff for me to post up, so check that out. Now, you know, I don't just stop there with just the infield, with just my dedicated fan and the stand reporter program. As InfoGen, I try to do more, as much as I can, to get race fans involved. And I started out as a race fan, so I totally understand, and I'm trying to do things that I wish someone else did for me when I was just a fan. So the other program that I have in place is my InfoGen fan sponsorship program, and it's pretty popular too. So what it is and how it works is twofold. When you become a sponsor, you will be able to help a race team get the things that they need to be able to go to the track and do what they do. And as a sponsor, you will get to go to the track and see everything they do up close and personal. My InfoGen fan sponsorship program allows you to do just that. For more information, visit my website, infogen.com, click on the fan sponsorship link. On that page, I have all the details listed and a list of commonly asked questions with the answers so you can make an informed decision. Once you do, you make that right decision to become a sponsor, just connect with me and let me know when I will be turning you into a team sponsor too. Now, I know you guys have heard me talk about racefansrock.com, but have you checked it out and joined yet? What are you waiting for? Well, if you haven't heard of it and if you haven't checked it out yet, I'll tell you a little about it. RaceFansRock.com is my social community. It's dedicated to racing and everyone in it, and that means you. Sign up for free and customize your profile however you like. Instantly connect with other race fans who like the same drivers as you do and make new friends. There is no limit on how many friends you can have either, which is a really, really nice feature. Now, when you post a status to RaceFansRock.com, you can simultaneously post it to Facebook and Twitter as well. So it's a one-stop shop. And best of all, it's designed to be a race-themed social site. There isn't another social site out there like RaceFansRock.com. Now, you can also create your own blog posts. You could create events. You could post tons and tons of your racing pictures and videos. You can create your own racing groups and join any one of the live chat rooms that I have set up for every driver in the top three series and then some. Now, these live chat rooms are my favorite part about RaceFansRock.com. And what's really cool is that your favorite drivers can stop by at any time to chat with his or her fans in real live time in their own live chat room. Plus, when a driver joins RaceFansRock.com, he or she is verified, so you'll know that you are talking to that actual person. Now, as if these features aren't great enough, I know they are. It's a pretty cool site. Just know that we're not stopping there. We have a lot of plans for Race Fans Rock growth, and we're even talking about implementing an iRacing league for the off season. I think that would be pretty exciting, and I'll keep you all informed on how it all goes and when it will be ready for some iRacing. Now, RaceFansRock.com is growing in leaps and bounds every single week, and it's really cool to see those numbers rise. I've welcomed a bunch of new members this week, and since we launched the site on April 6th this year, we're well over 250,000 page views and interactions. How cool is that? Now, I hope you'll take a second and join the fun and help RaceFansRock.com become the best social racing site on the planet. That's www.racefansrock.com. Check it out. Join. Now, this RaceFansRock.com segment has been brought to you by Tate's Cleaning Services. If you're in the North Carolina area or any of the surrounding areas, make sure you contact Tate's Cleaning Services first for all your home and office cleaning needs. Doesn't matter how big of a mess you need, Tate's Cleaning Services will clean it up and make it sparkle again like new quickly. I trust them with my home, and believe me when I say, three bath and house make it pretty dirty and stinky sometimes, but they do an excellent job every single time. And as you can see, they're pet friendly. They're fully licensed and insured, so you can trust and call Tate's Cleaning Services today and visit them on Facebook at @Tate's Cleaning Services. You can email them at NorthCarolinaMaid@gmail.com, or you can call directly at 763-269-1919. Make sure you mention that you heard about them from me and Phil Jen, because you will receive a discount. I absolutely guarantee you will love them as much as we do. All right, it's time to find out who's in it and who's driving what this weekend at Phoenix International Raceway. All right, the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series shows 34 trucks on the entry list for Friday's Lucas Oil 150 at Phoenix International Raceway. We have Dalton Sargeant in the 5, William Byron in the 9, Chad Boat in the 16, Austin Sindrick in the 29. Welcome back. Rico Abreu will make his debut in the 31, J.J. Haley in the 32, Bobby Pierce in the 36, Akinori Agata, will be in the number 63, and Cassie Gannis, good friend of mine, she'll be in the number 74 for Mike Harmon. Now, the Lucas Oil 150 at Phoenix International Raceway is set to start this Friday night, November 13th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Live coverage will be broadcasted on Fox Sports 1, Sirius XM Radio, Channel 90, and on MRN, the Motor Racing Network. Now, on to the NASCAR Xfinity Series. There are 41 cars on the entry list for Saturday's DAV 200 at Phoenix International Raceway. We have Carl Long in the 13. Eric Jones will remain in the number 20. We'll drive the 55 for Richard Godovic. The 56 team is entered with Timmy Hill as the driver. Ross Kendis, as we said earlier, will drive the number 80 car for Hattori Racing. The number 14 car for TriStar and the number 15 car for Rick Ware Racing are on the list, but they have not made it clear as to who will be behind the wheel just yet. And the number 97, Obake Racing, is not yet listed on the entry list, but they are expected to do that soon. No word on who will be the official driver for them for that race either, although I did believe that it was going to be Dylan Kwasniewski. We'll see what happens. The DAV 200 is set to take place on Saturday, November 14th at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, and it will be aired on NBC Sports Live Extra Online, Sirius XM Radio, Channel 90, and on MRN, the Motor Racing Network. Now on to the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. The entry list for the Quicken Loans Race to Heroes 500 Sprint Cup Series race at Jeff Gordon Raceway, they've renamed it in honor of Jeff Gordon's retirement. It's posted, and we will have Joey Gase in the 32 for Go Green Racing. Ryan Ellis will be in the 33 for Circle Sport Racing, making his debut in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. We have Timmy Hill in the 62 for Premium Motorsports, and Ryan Preece in the 98 also for Premium Motorsports. Now, here's some good news. Since only 43 cars are entered, all drivers and teams will make the race. Woohoo! The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Quicken Loans Race for Heroes 500 at Phoenix International Raceway, Jeff Gordon Raceway, is set to start on Sunday, November 15th at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and it will be aired live on NBC, MRN, the Motor Racing Network, and on Sirius XM Radio, Channel 90. Now, if you're not at the track this weekend and you're not able to catch the action, that's all right. Just follow along with me on social media, and together we will chat about what's going on at the track all weekend long. I'm not going to be there either, but I'm still going to know everything that's going on. Now, you can find me on Race Fans Rock by simply typing in Infield Jen in the search box, and you can add me as your friend. You can still connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/InfieldGenFanpage and facebook.com/RaceFansRock. My personal page on Facebook is still around that 5,000 limit, so I try to add people when somebody deletes me. But if you'd like, if you can get a friend request in, just know that I will answer it. It might take me a little while to get to it, but I will. And that's another reason why Race Fans Rock is a better social community. I don't have a limit on how many friends you can have on there, so be friends with everyone, more than 5,000 people if you want. I just can't wait for us to get to 5,000 people on there. So it's coming. I know it is. All right, if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at InfieldGen, and also on Instagram, LinkedIn, Google+, and more as InfieldGen. And make sure you visit my website, danielljen.com, on a daily basis and check out the latest news, pictures, videos, race results that includes all the practice sessions, qualifying sessions, and final race results, complete with race notes and a penalty report for every race. Make sure you also check out my new blog posts, cool fan stories, different teams' press releases, real press releases directly from those teams, photos from my dedicated fan and the stand reporters, and so much more. So check it out, see what you missed, and get all caught up. It's all right there on infieldgen.com. And if you have a suggestion for something you'd like to see posted on infieldgen.com, feel free to send those suggestions to me via the contact form on my website, located at the bottom of any page you're on. I get those messages directly, and I will answer them back. And don't forget to click over to my merchandise tab and get yourself some Infield Gen gear. Now, I got to tell you, I was literally blown away when I saw a dedicated fan of mine who goes by the name D Racing Ray on Facebook. He was wearing an Infield Gen shirt at the track this weekend. I almost fell over myself. I still get choked up when I think about it. Like, I never saw anyone wearing an Infield Gen shirt at the track besides me. You know, and it was really cool and really weird to see someone else with my logo on them. I was speechless for a minute, and I didn't know what to say, and you know, that doesn't happen to me very often. But I was really grateful to him for wearing it, and I know how big of a Jeff Gordon fan Ray is. So for him to wear anything else, and I mean anything else, other than a 24 shirt at the racetrack is a big deal. So thank you so much, Ray, for being such an awesome fan and for liking what I do with Infield Gen that much. It really means a lot to me to see, you know, really it did. It meant so much to me to see you wear that, my shirt. And I guess it's something I never thought would happen, and I never expected something like that to happen. So it was really cool and surprising to see. You know, so of course I asked Ray, where'd you get that shirt? You know, because my shirts, I have a guy in the mall that from Jersey, and he's down here now. He makes my shirts for me on his machine thing, right? So of course I asked Ray, I said, where'd you get the shirt? And he told me that he got it by going to the merchandise tab on my website and chose to buy that specific shirt. So of course I asked him about the quality of it. I said, is it good? You know, I said, cause he says, yeah. He says, it's made really well. It washes well. So, hey. So, yeah, people, if you would like, you know, to shock the hell out of me at a racetrack next year or coming up, head over to the merchandise tab section on my website and check out the items for sale over there. You know, it's pretty cool, and I hope you like what's in, you know, what I have in the store. So, yeah, again, Ray, thanks so much. That was really cool of you to do. Well, I'm running out of time for tonight's show. I want to thank all the race fans who allowed me to turn them into sponsors this week. And hopefully I can add you to that list next week. Once again, I'm sending out a huge shout-out to RaceGear.com, Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, Tate's Cleaning Services, and to everyone who tuned in. I hope you guys enjoy this weekend's races at Phoenix International Raceway. And I know my dedicated fan on the stand reporter, Dan Basham, will do a great job of keeping me up to date with all the latest news at the racetrack, and he's going to share a ton of pictures with me so I can share them with you so we can all see what's going on and get a good sense of what's happening at the track through Dan's experiences. It's going to be special. You don't want to miss it. Now, he's going to be on the show next week to talk all about it, too, so you definitely don't want to miss that. Now, if you're also going to be in Phoenix this weekend, feel free to send me some of the pictures that you take so I can see how much fun you're having, and I'll post them on my InstillGen.com website, too. It'll be all posted up under the Fan Central section, and everyone else is going to get to see it as well. If you're going to be camping out in the Phoenix International Raceway campground, please connect with me and send me some of the pics of your cool setup and some of the cool setups around you, and tell me what it's like and what goes on in the campgrounds at the Phoenix track. Well, I can't say enough good things about the NASCAR Campground Network, so definitely take a minute and head over to their website, NASCARCampgroundNetwork.com, and check them out and make sure that you enter for your chance to win a trip for four. That's right, four to the Daytona 500 in 2016. Click on their blog section on a regular basis and read exclusive articles written just for them. And check out all the benefits about becoming a member so I can see you and hang out with you at a NASCAR race next year. Become a member today, and do not forget to include my name in Infield Gen at checkout to receive a huge discount off your yearly membership. We're going to have a lot of fun next year, and you definitely don't want to miss out. Once again, I want to thank Brian Wertman for coming on the show and sharing his amazing story. And just goes to show you, you know, if you have a goal, have a dream, no matter what your obstacles are, you can do it. So shout out to him. And shout out to you guys once again for tuning in tonight. We'll get to do this again next Tuesday evening. So let's have a great week, and I'll catch up with you guys again right here, same day, same time. And remember, everyone, racefansrock.com. Good night.